So while we're at the last session, and it's so important that you and I put our hands to the plow and we say, yes, God, we want to be used by you. And there are many questions. Is what if I feel God has been speaking to me? What should I do next? And there are quite a lot of stuff that we can be involved with, but it's not about doing 300 things. It's about, again, speaking and to your mountains and say, look here, in this season that's important, I need to connect with that season, connecting in the local body. And we're going to share some principles with you, especially on taking authority, growing and learning to go from strength to strength in this session. And so we're excited about being practical. There's some people that do church planting, and there's certain ways how you should not do it. You know, this is not an opportunity for a job. This is not, you know, because I'm dissatisfied in this area of my life, so now suddenly I can be involved in church planting and run away from even the responsibilities that we do have in our families, in our relationships, in our community, and in our workplace. And there's some things here in your notes that says, you know, some people really plant churches to have a platform. Because they couldn't get into the work or they couldn't do something significant, then they're running for success. And this is a big challenge. Don't go for success because what you do is not who you are. And so trying to get a platform and trying to get influence through ministry will always fail, because first we are children of God. First we need to be identifying with Christ and his call on our lives. And if God calls you to be a businessman or a businesswoman, that's where you need to be. If God calls you to be in the full-time ministry of in the fivefold calling, that's where you need to be. So finding your place is very important. But sometimes God lays this passion and this desire in our heart that we just say, look here, I want to be a pioneer. Wherever I go, I can start things. I can really see strategically. I've got this apostolic thing on in my life. Then you're at the right place, because all of us must have that heart to go to the nations, go to the place of where God can use us. Another thing that some people do is they react. So it almost like they sort of start to flow out of a frustration of, yeah, you know, I'm not satisfied in my job, so I'm going to run away from my circumstances. And we're never doing something for God because we're reacting. We're always responding to the leading of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're following Christ. And that will mean different things for all of us through different seasons, different times in our lives. Our relationships work like that. Our relationship with God works like that. That God will sometimes prepare us. And we're going to talk about that as one of the principles of what should I do in this season. Then also, don't be isolated and don't just do your own thing. You know, the spirit in this world is a spirit of lawlessness and a spirit where everybody does what is ever, what they think is right in their soul, in their own mind and in their own hearts. And they sort of say, what I want to do, I'm going to do it. I don't care what other people say. But you know what? You cannot have a relationship with Jesus without having a relationship with his body. I can't have a relationship with my wife and say, oh, you know, I love your head and I love your smile, but I don't like your feet. Those toes of yours doesn't smell too nice. I don't do that, because I have a relationship with the person as a whole. And in the same way, Jesus finds reflection of his life and his who he is through a group of believers and through a family of believers. And so don't be isolated and don't try and do stuff independently from other people recognizing the gifts and the callings of God on your life and they releasing you. And sometimes it's going to be frustrating, because you're going to think like, well, I want to change the world. Well, I want to go out there. I want to do stuff for God. And then people are going to say to you, no, wait, you know, and that's not what you want to go for. And you don't want to hear that. But it's important that other people recognize those giftings. Other people release you. Because again, you need to surround yourself with people that are different and have got different callings and giftings than you. Because we need to be a team player. So what should you do while you're in the season? Then very important, find places to serve. Because you can only be great in the kingdom of God if you are a servant. That's what Jesus said. There's no other way. Many people come because they just want to be a flash in the pan, or they want to be a lone ranger, or they want to be the man of power for the hour. And God has not called us to do that. He said, look here, you're part of this bigger picture. So there are many places where you can serve. Go to the encounters, learn to facilitate there. Go to Bible school and learn the Word of God, get established in the Word of God. Serve at the church services. Go before the time, learn to pray at intercession. Learn to read the word and divide, rightly divide the word, as scripture says. It's a season of preparation for most of us. And it's important that you know that even when God calls us, we know that that calling is progressive. It doesn't just happen overnight and suddenly, you know, God appears to you. Because that's what the precedent we find in scripture, that even between Saul on the road of Damascus being called by God and in the end being released to the church in Jerusalem, they say there was about 14 years. The same with David, 16 years from when Samuel anointed him until he in the end was in the palace. So God will always take us through different seasons. And I want to share a couple of principles that are very important if we want to be part of what God is doing. And the seasonal one is the first one. Respect the seasons that you're in. Respect the emotional place that you're in. And that's why we all must come to a place of wholeness. Not perfection, but wholeness. Because God uses whole people. And that wholeness comes from a place of identity in Christ, where we know our identity in Christ and we know our authority in Christ. It's not what we do that define us as people. But learning to strengthen yourself and become a son of God and a daughter of God is so important, because then ministry just flows from a place where we know God. We first are children of God and then we do the things that children of God do. But we don't try to define our relationship with God through the things that we do. And that's where many people shoot themselves in the foot, or they get hurt or offended, or they get, in a sense, a sense of significance through what they from what they do and through what they do. But God does not want us to do that. He says, look here, I want you to be a son. And we see it in the life of Jesus. Jesus, before he does anything significant for God, the Lord opens the heavens and he says, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. So finding the season of your identity is very important in God. Learning to know that you are in a different season than even other people around you. Don't compare yourself to other people, but find the area that God wants you to focus on now in this time. And as you grow, you learn to go to the next season, because God only takes us from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. He will not just make you to go and have a word of knowledge for the president of the nation if you cannot even have a word of knowledge just right where you are in your small group. So we learn these spiritual things. We learn to train as we go. And so many of us would be in different seasons of training, being equipped, or reaching out, or establishing churches. Let's have respect. And unfortunately, too many people in the charismatic church, oh, you know, Petey is reading this book, so I must read that book as well. But he may be in a different season than you. And so have respect for those seasons and learn to grow. Because sometimes your season can be 5 years. Somebody else's season may be 5 months to establish the same thing that God takes 5 years to establish in your life. But let's rather be patient. And we don't like that word patient and long-suffering and all that stuff. But God first works in us before he works through us. So allow God to complete what he wants to do in your life, and then he begins to work through your life. You know, I know somebody, Angus Buchan, and he always tells me, he says, it's not what you preach that will change people's lives, but who you are that will do it. So let God first do that capacity in your heart, faith. Let him establish certain things, and then from there, he releases you into the next season. Another thing that you need to learn if you want to be an effective church planter or small group planter is very simply, you need to set boundaries in your life. Because through those boundaries, you begin to learn how to grow and especially to say no. Because there are many other people that's going to try to enforce their lifestyle, their principles, their calling on your life. And you need to find out, what has God called me to do in this time? And if I don't set proper boundaries physically, emotionally and spiritually, I'm going to either burn out or I'm going to get offended because I have the wrong expectations in my life. And so learning to put boundaries out there, learning to exercise, learning to do stuff is very important in every season of your life, because it's not just about saying yes, but also about saying no to a lot of things that may seem very godly, but it's just good works or dead works. We need to do God works so that we can be established in the faith and that we can grow also as a team together. In the same way, not just for you as an individual, but a church planting team needs to set out boundaries. Who are the people we're going to reach out to? What are the times we're going to do that? No, we're not just going to pray for 400 people at a time, or we're not going to just do a massive crusade for 10,000 people if we're just four people in a small group. Why? Because we won't be able to disciple those 10,000 people if there's not proper planning and proper strategizing as to how we're going to actually bring all those people into church and disciple them effectively. So learning to set boundaries in your life is very important. And also emotionally, because many times we overwork ourselves or we do stuff that God has never called us to do. And that's so important in our own life. Another thing that we need to know, and a principle that's very important, is that God is more interested in your character than in the anointing on your life. And this is hard for many charismatics because we think like, oh, you know, if we can have a feeling or emotion around the block, then we're going to feel good about ourselves. But character and anointing grows together at the same time. And that's why God will allow suffering in your life. That's why God will allow hard times, because he wants your character to be established. He never wants us to sin, because that's what temptation does. But testing will happen in our lives, because as a church planter and as a group of people, you're going to go through hard times. It will bind you together. It will bring you into agreement. And it will also make you grow to that place where your character becomes more Christ-like. Because that's ultimately our purpose, is to become like Christ, to reflect Christ in the earth. And so it's important. Yes, your giftings, but also your character. You need to grow in both of those things together. Another thing that we need to know as you grow in this, not just as a team, but also as an individual, is what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? You know, we sometimes focus so much on our weaknesses that we don't know what we're standing for and what God has called us to do. So if you are an evangelist, then focus on those things. Don't try to overcompensate for all the other things that you can't do. But be a team player, but in the same way, focus on the strengths and also in the season that you're in, so that when you start to grow on the giftings that you have, that's great. And even if you just have a one talent, add that to the team, because God wants you to be strengthened in that. But you need to know your strengths. You need to know your weaknesses. You need to set boundaries emotionally. And like we said, something very simple for me is I don't counsel ladies, because I just can't do that. I'm a guy. But if you don't have those policies in place, then the devil is going to set you up at a time when you're weak or when you're not focused to fall. And especially in a time when ministry starts and church planting starts, there's going to be lots of opportunities to minister. But that's where you set up boundaries, and that's where you know your strengths and your weaknesses as well. Then another thing, on all levels, if you want to be effective church planter, you need to be accountable. You need to walk in the light. You know, there's no way that we're an island on ourselves and in ourselves. And in that sense, you need people that can speak into your marriage. You need people that can speak into your relationship, into your finances, into every area of your life. Because God has not called us to walk this life and this road alone. But when we are accountable to each other, and when we start to learn to live an open life, Scripture says if we confess our sins to one another, then the blood of Jesus Christ, the covenant of God, can have an effect on our lives. So it's so important that accountability, openness, walking in the light, and especially if you're the leader and you're out there somewhere, you need to have people, other people that are planting churches or other leaders in churches that can back you and pray for you and celebrate you. It's a place of accountability, because accountability is not just about the sins in our lives and about the stuff we need to fix. Accountability is more about the purpose of God and what has God told us to do and how can we grow together in that area. Because if we've set out certain faith goals, let's go for those faith goals and let's pray together and let's trust God together for those faith goals. So, very important. If you want to minister to people and you want to become an effective minister, you must know that God works in you before he works through you. Okay, so God creates a capacity in you. It's the same like just this place where once you have got, you know, the more responsibility you can take as a child, the more, you know, you can learn later on to drive the car. But if you're a five-year-old, you can't drive the car. Because you can't get around to the pedals at the bottom of the car, you know, you can't look over the steering wheel. But as you grow in these seasons and as you learn to be faithful, then what happens? God gives you more. That's what Scripture says. Be faithful in somebody else's before God will release you in your own. So even in ministry, let's serve this ministry and let's serve this place where we understand that, wow, you know, It's God's vision. It's God's purpose. And I've got a privilege. It's a massive privilege for me to be able to partake in that purpose. Priorities are also very important. You know, learning to say yes to the right things and learning to say no to the wrong things. And that's why, first, your relationship with God. If you want to be out there effective, connecting with God, having quiet time with God, having God as and Jesus as the lover of your soul is so important. You cannot compromise on that and get so busy that you never spend time with God. God is first, and there's no number two. Your relationship with God is more important than changing the world for God. And if you understand that, you're always going to come and minister from a place of the overflow of life. You're not going to just try to go through life because this is so hard and the calling of God is so hard. No, it's actually from a place of abundance. And that's why God is first, family second, our relationships, and thirdly comes ministry. It's very important that we understand the priorities that God has for our lives. And when we stick to that, then God will bless us because God moves only through divine order in our lives. Last thing that I want to talk to about just concerning these principles is that God has called us to be servants. And whether you're going to preach or teach, it really doesn't matter. It's not about what you do, but about serving God in this process of becoming a church planter. And even if you have to wait 30 years and do it because God has called you to do it. We are ultimately serving Him. We're not serving people, we're serving Him. Scripture says, do everything that you do to the glory of God. And so let's trust God personally as we grow through these seasons that God will establish us. And God is going to show us great things and He's going to give you dreams and visions. And whether it's to start an orphanage or whether it's to start a music ministry or a prophetic ministry, God wants to release His glory through your life and through my life and through our lives together as we spread the fullness in the kingdom of God. And that's the big challenge for us is let's do it together. So, very simply, the last question here is, what area should I be involved with? How do I find myself in a place, say, for instance, I find myself in a place where there's no shofar church? Well, then find creative ways on how you can start a church. Because you don't need to start a building and a worship service. But through Bible school, through a cycling club, start a small group. Because that's how a church gets planted, is through a group of believers, like-minded believers that know God, they want to follow God, they want to see the kingdom come in the area. They start to knit their hearts together. God knits it together. And they come into fellowship, into the apostles' doctrine, into prayer, into breaking of bread. And from there, God begins to multiply. So we've got lots of practical things on how we can do that. Through the Bible school correspondence, some people start Bible school classes. Other people do the encounters, and through that they invite people. Some people do outreaches and start small groups from there. There are so many opportunities. There's the Shofar Online TV that people can connect with and listen to the sermons from there as a group on a Sunday. There's downloads and training material. There are so many opportunities and things through media that's also been available and been made available to us to be able to plant churches. So you don't need to set up a 9 o'clock meeting on a Sunday and think, oh, that's church. Church is the relationship that we have with God and with each other. And so I want to challenge you, but also ask you to start to think practically on ways on how God, through your talents, through your work, through your sphere of influence, can begin to plant churches, plant small groups, even if there's no shofar church around. And then through the regions, we connect with each other. We connect with HQ and we support you and we send the material to you so that we can say, Lord, we want those 40 million people to be discipled. And so think of some practical ways. How can you reach out? How can you find community groups? And we're going to talk about that in this practical that will follow.